So today we're going to try a different way with the translation.
Aujourd'hui, on va essayer une nouvelle façon pour la traduction.
And that is going to be hard for me. I'm going to try to speak slowly and simply and repeat myself.
Donc, je vais essayer de parler lentement, clairement et de me répéter.
And if you don't understand, you let me know or let Jonathan know. So if you think you may not understand a word or a phrase, you might want to be closer to Jonathan.
Donc, si vous ne comprenez pas une phrase ou un mot, vous laissez savoir à Jaya ou à moi. Donc si vous pensez que vous, il y a une partie que vous ne comprendrez pas, peut-être vous approchez dans cette phrase.
So because not many people were actually listening to the translation, we're going to stop doing it.
Donc, comme il n'y a pas beaucoup de personnes qui écoutaient la traduction, on va arrêter là.
Until the moment that it's needed.
À moins qu'à un certain moment, ça devienne nécessaire.
If already you think, no, give me the translation, so please.
Donc, si vous pensez que vous avez besoin seulement de la traduction, vous êtes plus bien.
Anytime we can start the translation again, but since it, no one was really, apparently from what we heard, no one was actually listening to the translation.
Donc, comme il n'y avait pas beaucoup de gens qui ont manifesté le désir d'avoir la traduction, on va l'arrêter, mais on peut le recommencer à n'importe quel instant.
So if there's a question, just like with translation, we stopped many times and repeated.
Donc, comme avec la traduction qu'on faisait, on arrêtait à plusieurs reprises, comme c'était, quand c'était le besoin y était.
We'll keep doing that. We'll keep stopping, repeating, checking.
On va continuer à faire de cette façon-là, d'arrêter, de vérifier.
Okay. Or not okay. Okay, we try. Are there any questions or anything to share?
Transmit it to each other and to take care of each other in that state of being.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my wish for humanity.
Yes. Me too. Maybe I can move this fan.
That's okay. Great. From my point of view, it was your head.
Yes. So the only thing is if we are ready to work, to really work. Because it takes a lot of patience and time and foresight to let ourselves be connected to what's important and to learn to move from there so that children grow up with their trust not broken. We have to be ready to grow up, actually, if we're in a big body. And it means at the same time, growing ourselves up and also helping the small ones grow up. And it's a lot of work. Work including doing nothing. I'm very happy to hear your wish. Thank you. Could you hear what he said? Yeah? No? Wait.
So, if I can add a little something.
Please.
My wish would be that most of the society we're living in just relearn to go with the flow of nature. That's why I love nature so much. Sometimes there is storm in nature, hurricane, whatsoever. But it doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
So learning to to be listening to nature and to follow its path.
Thank you. I'd like to speak about the immeasurable. How would we say immeasurable? Yeah. Once on retreat, one of my teachers who had a tendency to be more authoritarian. At the end of the day, he said, if you're not tired, you can walk, and with your tiny eyes, you can see the stars so far away. And partly in the contrast of this long day of strict sitting, walking, silence, the contrast of the chance for wonder?
Émerveillement.
Like, really? We're allowed to open? To something that we can't, that's beyond our thinking capacity. That this tiny thing and this tiny thing can see something that big and far away. And at the same time, to be curious. How curious it is, how étrange, how strange it is that the light comes from the stars or from this star. And it comes into the eye and becomes my perception. It's traveled a long way, not belonging to anybody. And then it's my perception. And so that there's not something wrong that happens, but we could be curious about it. In what way does it become mine? What is that me that is suddenly there? I'd like to read a poem, which is better if we do translate a bit, maybe. Let's see. It's called Gift.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
It's called Gift by R.S. Thomas. And maybe the first time we'll go very slowly, like one line and talk. Then another line. The first line is already interesting. Some ask the world. So just as a line, we don't know what it means. It could be that I'm asking the world, I'm open, I'm curious. It could be that I'm asking for the world, give me the world. And just already to feel the difference between when we ask the world, kind of meeting, or when we ask the world, how it feels inside. Rich and poor. Abundance and not enough. But on our way to freedom, to being free from our conditioning, some of us need to practice asking the world. It will feel like asking the world. And it's only asking for a cup of tea. For some people, and if you know what I mean, you know what I mean. That to ask for a small favor feels like asking the world, which means it feels like I'm going to die if I ask for this. And if I don't die asking, I will die in receiving. The conditioning is that strong that the survival system is in place to stop me from asking and receiving. And we walk through that wall. In this case, it's this kind of demand. Some ask the world and are diminished. Diminished. What would be diminished? Diminué? Exist? Good. Okay.
On dit ask what? The world, c'est demander la lune en français. Est-ce que c'est
demander
yeah.
Yeah. Est-ce que demander la lune aussi, ça veut dire?
We have in English also to ask okay. The moon.
Okay, it's not the same.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
But in yeah, in this case, it's at first ambivalent. If we only stop, if we go slowly, first some ask the world, and we think, he gets our attention, and we don't know where he's going. Some ask the world and are diminished. So it would be like asking the moon. But it would be like assuming that it's my moon.
I don't understand.
Almost not asking.
She's saying, because in French, demander la lune, it means ask for something that is not
impossible
to get.
Yes, that's the same, yes.
And asking the world is...
In this case, it's also like asking the moon. It's
okay,
asking for the world to be mine.
For the moment, we don't know really what he wants to do or to say.
But I'm giving you a hint because I've read the poem a few times. Some ask the world and are diminished in the receiving. So sometimes we could feel what it is I think I don't have enough. I don't have enough home. I don't have enough love. I don't have enough money. So what is it? We find out in meditation. We find it. What is my deep belief and experience I don't have enough of? What? Then we try to get it. So one good example is love. I feel there's not enough love. So then, so easily, I see gestures that mean not love. Someone turns away and I think it's about me. They didn't even see me. I smile, they don't smile. It means to my system, not love. I feel hurt. The person didn't see me, possibly. Or the person felt my demand and knows that love is not by demand. That's not love. That's business. That's aggression. I force you to show me love the way I accept that currency. Then I'm small in the receiving. Some ask the world and are diminished in the receiving of it. You gave me only this small pool, that the more I drink from, the more overflows me with sourceless delight. You gave me only this small pool. So far, okay? You gave me only this small pool, that the more I drink from, the more overflows me with sourceless delight. He says a lot in a few words. So it's a small pool that I drink more and more, first of all. That's interesting. It's a small pool, but I drink more, and the more I drink, more overflows me. If you have a question, maybe say it loudly so that we can all go.
Can you translate in French just that?
The hardest part?
Paul serait piscine, mais à un plus petit niveau. Donc, on peut dire
un bassin,
oui. Tu m'as donné seulement un bassin de pourboire duquel je peux boire. Et plus je bois, plus je suis submergé avec un épanouissement.
Avec un peu
de épanouissement.
Delight.
Sourceless delight. Mm. Qui vient de nulle part.
I will read it again, but let's get through the French.
Un trop plein, c'est pas trop plein, non, parce que trop plein, c'est un peu négatif. Un débordement d'épanouissement.
De non-épanouissement.
It overflows me. So rather than the pool overflows, I drink and I overflow. With what I drink, and I overflow. Okay? With what? Sourceless light.
Sourceless light.
So, la lumière sans source.
That's like, okay.
He has my back.
But the pool is what we need?
Yes. The pool is what we need.
Okay.
We think, we feel, we fear. We need the whole world. But what we have is a small pool. And when we notice that I'm thirsty and I drink, and this is enough for now, maybe I'm thinking it's not enough for 60 more years. But okay, I'm that thirsty that I actually just drink. And this is the main thing I want to speak of today. We drink from the small pool, which means what we already have, what's already here. My life as it is. It looks, if I look at it from how I, according to my ideal, it's small. But eventually, I'm that thirsty that I drink. Which means, it says, you gave me only this small pool. So there's a feeling of, it's given. This is given. And that's that feeling we've been talking about of not my fault, something more impersonal, something that's happening, rather than something I made. Yeah? Yes.
But it's like if you gave me only the small pool, it's you give me only the small life, not you give me only the small love or you give me only the small understanding. My real question is, when I hear your statement, what I lack the most, personally, is understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I can never get enough.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Even though I speak about a matter with somebody and he's like, yeah, yeah, okay. He gets it, but he's not like totally understanding. Mm-hmm. It's like I have the feeling I have to talk to this person until he's totally with me. Mm-hmm. And he gets it exactly the way I want him to get.
Yes.
But exactly the way I feel it, you know?
Yeah.
So the small pool.
Good. So it's good. Now we can use your example to go to the next step. So, and everyone can think your own, what is your thing, instead of understanding, which sounds like being met, being understood.
Yeah.
So when it's like, I feel like I have to talk to that person till they understand the way I want them to, that's the poverty demand side. That is never enough. You've already tried it and you keep finding. Mm-hmm. Even if I take 3 hours trying to explain, I still don't feel, I feel, So wait. So I notice that, and eventually I get bored with that, or something in me starts to wiggle. What would be wiggle? Yeah. That is like, let's get out of this prison. So one way is we take that wish and let it go deeper. I want understanding. What is it in understanding that I want? What is it in being understood that I love? What is it when that happens? I resonate with that feeling of being met or being heard or being understood. And we get a finer and deeper, more subtle experience that we can also give ourselves. And we can also find ways for that same harmony of connection without the words. So then I start with understanding from my side. I feel connected in harmony with the person, and then I say, oh, yeah, spontaneously, rather than my programming from poverty, spontaneously, I feel to share this experience. But the basis is already my openness to understanding, that I understand you in that way. I resonate and connect. And the words are secondary. So that is drinking from the pool, that the more I drink, we just take whatever it is, love, understanding, anyone else? Another word?
Love, for sure. I would say love, for sure.
Love. Anyone?
Approval.
Mm-hmm. So often approval, going deeper, is somewhere between this understand, what Veronique is calling understanding, and I'm calling love. They kind of, when we go deeper, it's about the same. How is this so far? So then we have, again, as we said this morning, the two parts of practice that eventually are one thing. Growing the person. So as a child, I was not met, I was not understood, and there was love, and also there was control, which is not love. So as a child, the ways that you and I were not met, I'm now big, I find the ways to meet that. Wait. Then the other side is freedom from the demand that you meet me. So I find, what is the big mind that can take care of the small mind? What is the inner parent that can take care of the inner child? And that's not, and let that not be the whole work. That's psychology. Good, important, essential. Not all. Then the other side of confidence from nowhere, that I am enough. I am already met. I already understand my deepest. I'm in touch with it. And it feels so good, I won't leave. Even if you don't understand me. Even if you don't approve of me. And it's not a rebellion against. So there can be my conditioning that I seek your approval. And it's an addiction, it's a prison, it's a slavery. So somewhere I hate it. And I hate you that I depend on your approval to approve myself. Even if I love you and you're, whatever my strategy to get your approval or to get my space, whatever the strategy is. We're stuck to the strategy and we hate it. And we hate living in a world that way. Okay, should I repeat anything? We'll get there, and remind me if I don't get there. What does it mean, the sourceless light? In, so far, we say trust based on nothing. Okay, so when I trust, when I say, I trust you, usually I mean, I enslave you. It means I expect you to act in a way that I think is friendly. On my terms. Not always, but I'm exaggerating. There's usually this pushiness. I trust you. Ah, approval. Good. But it can be an expectation, demand, and I diminish myself in that kind of relationship. It's not love, it's not trust.
It's manipulation.
Wait. Exactly.
I don't know if it's like the topic of
I think if I just say the other side of the trust first, and then I take the questions. So it's not that we distrust everyone and we do feel resonance with some people that brings a feeling of safety. Yeah?
No, can you repeat?
We feel resonance with some people in a way that brings safety. That helps us grow ourselves up. That's a help from outside that helps me grow up. It helps the alarm system come down. It helps me grow up. And it helps also on not only psychology, also we can call the spiritual, where I'm in touch with what is beyond what I know. I'm in touch with what is beyond what I think. And so then I start to feel that I love being quiet. I love being wholehearted, or you can call it passionate, in specific cases. There's a specific part of our path that's the passion. There's a specific part that's the quiet. Sometimes it goes together. You loved art before you went to art school. And when you did art, you were a different person. Your mind acted differently. Your body was different. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that spiritual.
To me, that is the spiritual path. It's part of the spiritual path. And so we're also dislodging. We're taking apart the old ideas of what is spiritual path as some kind of obedience to a rule that is somebody else's rule. Let me get to finish with the trust, and then we'll...
I just needed the translation.
Oh, sorry, yes, please.
I didn't understand a few sentences.
Okay. So, from the... When she did art, now we don't know yet, but when she did art, she was into it. So her body was in a different place, like a more like a, now our best role model is a wild animal. But the human being has something, maybe some slightly different sensitivity. Then her mind was different. And her sense of herself was different. Her experience of herself was different. Is that true, first of all? Okay. So then she said, ah, but that's not spiritual. And I'm saying, yes, that is spiritual. We're taking away some ideas about what is spiritual. Okay? So in your own experience, like her experience with art, or maybe sometime Véronique had a conversation where there was understanding from the beginning that came easily, feeling meeting. Gautam Buddha said, things are not as they seem. Yeah? Things are not as they seem, but they are not different. And it's in our own receptivity that this shift happens. The same world, the same life, the same body, the same mind. Not different. But not how it seems to me when I'm afraid, when I think it's not enough, when I'm connected to my poverty. So in our own experience, when there's a shift and there's openness or flow or quiet, there's not a feeling of needing something to be different. It's okay? Can we call that trust? Some idea comes or some movement happens. What kind of art did you do?
Textile design.
Textile. And what are your materials when you're designing?
Well, first a lot of drawing.
Okay. And what's your favorite thing to draw with?
Nature.
But I mean in your hand. What's in your hand?
Ink.
Okay. And on paper or on cloth or on
paper.
Okay. So paper and ink, brush or pen?
Pen.
Okay, so pen, paper, ink. She's in her flow, maybe this is the third, fourth, fifth, she's in a flow. She's in a nice spot in the woods, whatever, and her hand starts to move. And she trusts that flow. She doesn't need to say, wait. Is that getting a little to the left or a little to the right? She's, okay, let's see what happens. The way we experience it, we can call it trusting my hand or trusting my pen. But we could also call it trusting my deeper mind or trusting my mind-body, not dominated by mind. Or we could just say trusting nothing. Out of nowhere, it comes. Yes.
Can we say intuition?
We can say there's some overlap of intuition and this more direct flow. So with intuition, usually what someone means by intuition is maybe I'm making a decision, this or this, and then I think, shall I do this or shall I do that? And then I think, I feel like that, not this. And so I, and I'm about to do that, and then something, not only A, not B, but C. So intuition can leave room for something more direct, which is not this or that, but something that we couldn't even imagine.
But does that come from deep inside?
Yes, we can say. Yes. Yes. So exactly. So intuition is good practice towards more, we can say, more fluid intuition. Less and less loyalty to personality. And more loyalty to, we can say, openness or immediacy, deep care, utter willingness. How would you say utter willingness? Utter willingness.
Willingness is volonté, but utter, I don't know.
Complete.
Volonté.
Utter. Complete. Complete. A volonté.
C'est complète, c'est pleine volonté.
Yeah. Yeah. Volonté entière. So then we have that example of there's flow. And I might find myself doing something out of character. Yeah? That I wouldn't do. And even if it doesn't necessarily go very well, the wholehearted feeling, that feeling of flow, is enough to go on. I might say something and the people don't understand. There's negative feedback at first. But I can still feel the flow was good, the intention was good, the deep willingness was there. Let's see. Yes.
And just thinking about how what you're saying, someone could take this as a philosophy and just apply it. Period.
Yeah.
And then someone could say, could realize maybe that in order to apply this philosophy, they need to meditate every day.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that that's true?
I would say that it's not a philosophy ever. We're just trying to describe people's experience as they go deeper. And meditate every day at least. So really wide definition of meditation. In other words, that volonté entière, that utter willingness. Definitely, meditation seems to be a good idea, formal meditation, even if formal meditation is lying down. But there's the 40 minutes every day that's precious, that I feel is my food, not because I should. And so then, when we find this, let's say, there's this flow. And again, it's great to point out, Brooks, that we go back to my experience that sounds similar. Not my idea of being in the flow and my idea of being free or impulsive or something. Because sometimes the way our deeper whisper of longing to be free of the conditioning. Whisper of longing. What's longing?
Aspiration.
Yeah? I don't like aspiration. Something deeper. Pull. That whisper of a pull. Ce qui m'attire. Okay. To be free from conditioning. Sometimes, as Veronique said yesterday, that spontaneity to break free from the punishing voice. Yeah? And sometimes following, for example, here, the schedule is here to help us to break free of the conditioning, to just be busy or get up, or to use a structure to help break through. It's another kind of spontaneity to follow a schedule because it helps me be free of my conditioning. If it helps me be free of my conditioning, it's spontaneous. It doesn't look spontaneous. So we're not, it's not the idea of flow and spontaneity, yeah? But we could feel for each my own experience of that happening. We could say, like, life moves me. And we can feel how rich that can be, not only for me. The painting or the work of art touches other people. You were shy, but you said something, and it was really important. It was a powerful voice for other people to hear. Or, harder to notice, you stayed quiet. And your silence was so healing and helpful. And this is really a challenge. So just a small example, and if we can not, hopefully not at all as a criticism, because it was my mistake in the singing last night. I did not tell you the words before singing. Only when I started singing, I thought, oh, I didn't tell them the words. Okay, we'll see how it goes. And some few people heard an extra na. Yeah? That I didn't know was in the song. And it was such a good example of how hard it would be to hear the absence of na, the third na. I think, hey, na, na. You were singing, hey, na, na, na. And I was singing, hey, na, na. Okay? Almost impossible in a room full of people singing, hey, na, 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 to hear the absence of the third N. So it's that kind of willingness to just put our ear up against our life and really hear, the willingness to hear. So not only I feel good when I'm in that wholehearted movement, life moves me, I'm wholeheartedly in it. It's a different person, body, mind, and sense of self. The results usually do reach other people fruitfully, usually helps, more than one. It's not usually not only one good result, but more. I start to get the hang of life needs taking care of themselves through me. Yeah, life's needs, providing for themselves through me, in me. It's okay? No?
You mean life, the need of the life?
The need that life has,
okay,
that can come through me to fulfill itself, okay, while I enjoy that movement. It's so good. Meditation?
Dance.
Meditation and, did you
dance.
Say?
Dance.
Dance. Yeah.
I want to share, when I dance, sometimes mm-hmm. I know that I'm not there. It's not my structure, or I just let
yeah.
my body dance. That's so... And
yeah.
The flow of life can come and can speak. And sometimes I'm like, am I okay?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's good practice in any example that we each have to feel when, oh, I'm not okay, and how the body goes, how the self feels, how the mind acts. And then when it's more flow, how that is in the body. And then on purpose, we can sometimes encourage that flow state by changing the thoughts, by shifting the body. But to express, to try to give proof of a need being fulfilled is difficult because I want to change the definition of need. The easiest examples for me of need that we can recognize as need is with my son and my daughter. So I was happily living my life, meditating all the time, resting between retreats, resting on retreat, having my challenges as a shy person. Public speaking is my job. Okay, so it's not only easy, there's good challenge. Okay, did I speak too fast? Okay. And then willingly, not by accident, I decided to find my children, to let them come to me. So after giving birth, Jonathan spent a lot of time with us at that time, so he knows firsthand how hard it was, how non-rested I was. How called upon I was. So life needed me to wake up and breastfeed, to wait and have my coffee later, because I can't get up right now. I don't want to wake up the child or whatever. And I found a couple of things there that I think I would never have found just doing my insulated practice by myself. One was timing. Maybe because I was tired, maybe because the need was more real, but the timing of my, let's say, fluid intuition got very good. I would know beforehand when I need to already get up and go down the hall to do something. And then it's already done. No need for the baby to cry. So it's not a superpower, it's a human power. And one thing that's a pity about our modern lifestyle is that we protect ourselves from being close to intense need. We don't have practice, mostly. So there are these kind of sometimes someone we know is sick or dying. Sometimes someone we know is giving birth and needs some support, etc. But it's not our daily, for most people, it's not our daily experience that we're in the presence in a way we can feel of deep need, of immediate need. If we could, please, let our sensitivity as human beings get untied from our reactivity. Now when I say I'm sensitive, I mean I am reactive. I easily feel poor and small. Partly because I'm insulated from need. I have not practiced responding. I have not practiced an immediate intuition, go down the hall now, though it's midnight. And whatever it was. So without pressure from any disaster, this is our calling now, I think. Without pressure from disaster, without someone in my face that does need, that I recognize. But feeling more subtle, more deep, there is need. And it is related to us. We are connected to that need. It's just not in front of us. And we can respond, and we can enjoy responding. We can enjoy responding to need. Not only that, but the joy is from going beyond myself. So we might at first think, oh, what a pain, I have to get up at midnight. Oh, what a pain, there's so much need. Poor me, I have to help poor them. And then when we feel a connection and there is a response, we actually feel how rich it is. We notice there's empowerment, being in touch with need. It's life's need, and we participate in life. And we won't have a problem with boredom. So can we feel that difference between neediness? Oh, maybe I'm not good enough, and maybe I need more help than I can give, etc. The small, the poverty, the alarm system, being in charge. And then the more enjoying the life movement, fulfilling its own need. By practice. By practice and by joy. So by practicing joy. And then joy leads to lightness. After a while, it's not so much joy. It's a more subtle juiciness that we could call lightness.
Just in my experience, I find that place of like poverty consciousness, or like not feeling enough or feeling small, it's like as soon as I kind of dip into it, it's like, ooh, and I can kind of get caught very easily. And it's very hard for me. Like, I know it's by practice, and I'm practicing a lot, but it feels like it's a very sticky place. It's hard to just kind of change.
Yes, yes, good. So great observation. And that is why I really highly recommend that I usually say 80%, maybe 90%, sometimes 99%, sometimes 100% of our practice is feeling for the more subtle joy, the more subtle connection, the more subtle wholeness or belonging. We can easily understand spiritual practice is that I should address my problems. I should face and meet and feel my negativity. And then all we do is we turn on this negativity that's already well practiced. And someone may feel the negativity more sadness, someone may feel the negativity more anger, someone may feel more fear, etc. Shame, loneliness. But mostly, it's already very sensitive alarm system. And if we can use our sensitivity, give permission to our sensitivity to respond to joy, wholeness, home, love, no demand, also on myself, first of all. It is practice, and it does actually help address the difficulties, without rather wounding the wound. Then when we're more at ease in that permission to love what we love, and permission to flow, and permission to just be in delight in stillness and silence, then naturally the wounds feel that it's safe to come out, and they're in the presence of medicine. And it takes care of itself. Sometimes it's intense, but it takes care of itself. And the two aspects, the wound and the wholeness, actually enrich each other. The wounds and the les blessures, et, how do you say, l'entièreté, the wholeness. Also. Of what I mean by which part? I started meditating on my own, and I thought, oh, I can't do this. They tell me to sit straight and focus on the breath. And I sit and I think thoughts. So then I went where there was a teacher, which now is more common to find. I went to India at that time. And was so happy to have a context where I could follow my natural diving in. And I still had a question of, okay, feeling my feet, yeah, but where's the love? That was my question. Then, and no, I did not find any teacher at the time that actually answered my question, by the way. It took quite some years. That's okay. It was my question. Kept me going. We did the loving kindness practice, the friendliness practice that we did this morning. And that was a part of an answer. There was okay, I can go with this. Which doesn't mean that you should feel that way about that practice. Some people hate it. Totally valid. Practicing within the year of practicing 1 or 2 hours a day and doing quite some few retreats also. Working at a meditation center as a volunteer. Things from my past came up that I kind of always remembered but didn't. And then it came very clear, this happened to me. And there was some response from my side to address it. And there was also chaos and nightmares and suicidal thoughts. And for while I was in college, taking an extra course. So it can be intense. And my friends were all out of the country those months. Continuing to meditate on a daily basis, continuing to do some retreats. It was my access to my deeper resources, my deeper home in myself, that allowed me also to meet that deeper wound in myself, that allowed me to go deeper into my goodness. That was the time that I was told to tell myself I love you and couldn't. And so because I couldn't, I did. I kept doing it until it was easy. Still the question of yes, and what about the love? So my personal kind of koan or good doubt or puzzle. So then I did a longer retreat. I didn't have money, so I did a work retreat for 1 month. And it happened to be with very dry teachings, just purely. As you lift your foot, you say in the mind, lifting. As you move your foot forward, you say in the mind, moving. As you put your foot down, you say in the mind, placing. As you breathe in, you say, rising. As you breathe out, you say, falling. And that is what you practice for 24 hours. So I found myself, before there was an open dharma offering retreats where you can lie down, I found myself going to my room and lying down and practicing the loving kindness. I thought I'm being a bad girl, but I am doing this. So it was also that empowerment of feeling the needs in myself for healing, that I had enough confidence to just do what had to be done without approval. So I was not doing what I'm supposed to do, but I'm doing what must be done. So I'm following the actual need, rather than maybe a neediness to do it right or to have the teacher's approval or even everybody else's approval. From there, then I asked myself to clarify my deepest need, which I can also tell you my deepest need at that time. A deep wish to be in the presence of teachings, whether that would come from me or from outside, I don't care. But I want to be continually in the presence of teachings.
Of what?
Teachings. Enseignement. So, I don't know if I'm expressing myself the way it goes step by step. And there can be the painful side that allows us to go deeper. It's also an empowerment. As the alarm system comes down, all that energy comes home. And the response can be more full-bodied, full-hearted, and less of me, as I knew myself. And then, within 1 month of clarifying my deep wish, I heard for the first time about my teacher, my first main teacher. I couldn't go in that moment because I had committed to a work, but I knew as soon as that is over, I'm going to meet him, which is what I did. And so, like that.
Who is your teacher?
That first main teacher is called Punjaji, and we called him Papaji. Mm-hmm. He has many, many students who are now teaching, for better or worse.
Thank you
one
saying.
Yeah. One sec.
That was very liberating experience.
Yes, again and again. Liberation is a long love story. One sec, we have two, and I just want to just see if I finish my sentence, kind of. Okay, yes, Brooks?
I was just wondering if we could go back to a point earlier in your story when you were, studying and taking an extra class, and all of your friends were away, and you were in, a crisis mode, and... that's like my experience sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest that comes afterward that gives me mm-hmm. hope, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm still there.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Yeah.
I guess I just need to be curious to go a little bit deeper into mm-hmm. what exactly you did.
Yeah.
Or what exactly should be done.
Yeah. I want to say the less important thing first. So, the side effect of going through that sort of fire, where almost every night I had a nightmare of the end of the world. And also, I was being left behind. It was the end of the world. And my friends were just leaving just before I could get there. So that was the kind of time. And I was at a high kind of pressure school, college, and it happened because I'd been in India that I was taking an extra course. It's not that I wanted to do that at that time. I didn't know. But sometimes life comes together that way. And similarly to in the intense time of mothering, sometimes that hot fire helps us be really no nonsense. So in my case, it helped me so much to stop being a good student. I used to work so hard in every class. I got A in every single course of the five by doing less. This is Harvard I'm talking about. By doing very little, by seeing the whole game that was being played, which is the teacher says and you repeat and you get an A. This is Harvard, and I'm sorry, but it's true. It's sad. It could be different. So that's it's a side effect, but it's a huge benefit. I wasn't there trying to get rid of my good girl. who would waste all my energy in being obedient and doing the right thing and following the rules. But I had to abandon that mode because I had to address what was most important with everything. I had no choice. In the sense of, well, yeah, I can leave school. There's so many options. But in my case, that was what needed to happen. And I could go with that need. So then, by the way, I knew I've got to find some therapy. I've got to find some support. Didn't find poster on the telephone pole. Never heard of the person. Go to the thing. Yes. And from the first meeting with her, I could read. Before that, I couldn't read a whole sentence. I couldn't process mentally because all my capacity was involved in something else. So bicycling home from her house the first time. And what she said to me, other than just the meeting, she said to me, I also have the same kind of history. And I want to tell you already from the beginning, someday there will be no scar. Cicatrice? There will be a day there's no scar, no cicatrice. Wait. We can continue with that maybe. I think we'll keep for the next day. It's okay for now. And then one last, yes.
It wasn't on the flyer, the main essence of your teaching. I call it synchronicity because it's a direct teaching of Ramana Maharshi.
Mm-hmm.
In listening to Muji, Gangaji, and many more, and here I am. And I've been looking for many years, and my deep feeling is this is one of the purest teaching possible.
Mm-hmm.
And one little thing I wanted to just say about the more light we get into, the more darkness at the equal balance we see also. It's exactly the same in a day, let's say, 12 hours of sunshine and 12 hours of night. So by allowing myself or the self to dive deep into that is,
And in a way that can come to complete my koan about where's the love. It's and how does the spiritual practice that can seem foreign and boring and hard and how does that become a love affair that we don't want it to end? Is in that like growing capacity, empowerment, letting go of being in power, etc., is a chance both with the delicious, a greater and a different form of love, and with the difficult and the pain and the wound. It's just asking, in my word, for more love. And to let that be pulled through me enriches what I experience as myself. So we find that whether it's hard or whether it's hard because it's so good, it's a kind of extending us to be closer and closer to home, closer and closer to what really fits.
Can I add a little something? I don't have to compare the Vipassana Gwangkaji that I did for 15 years. And I did it here before they moved. It used to be the Vipassana Center. Your way of bringing, let's say, spirituality or this type of teaching is more in tune with life without being too strict. We have some strict, but also fluidity. And I think it's allowing to grow more easily. Because too much structure is what we've been to our life, most of us. So when we have a little of both, we can swim into that, let's say.
Yeah. I think it's really good to leave it open for there to be many kinds of entrance points and many kinds of continuation. And so for you, maybe it was a perfect entrance point. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, but to have for yourself gratitude to how that brought you to the stability and openness and to be flow. And to leave it open that someone else might exactly need that structure. Mm-hmm. For their whole life, there could be a love affair with that. So it's even that flexible. So let's end with a moment of silence, please. May all beings be at peace. May our practice and lives be fully dedicated to what's important as part of a momentum towards liberation for all.